Well, good evening to you. My name is Frank Rowe. I'm the ministry director for ABWE, and I see smiling faces out here because for the last 5 years I've had the pleasure of teaching at Word of Life Bible Institute, and I have a lot of students here. Amber Lee, you need to behave and listen. She is red as she can be. It's my honor and privilege this evening to have the opportunity to introduce to you a wonderful friend. 8 years ago, I had the privilege of going to Jamaica to speak in a missions conference at the church of Audley Black and his wife, Donna. Audley is the product of missionaries going to Jamaica over 60 years ago, starting churches, seeing young people saved, having them go to Jamaican schools, and then pastoring churches in Jamaica. That's what missions is all about. Audley is a wonderful guy. You will love him. Okay? He's a big guy, so you have to love him, right? But he's a great guy. He's become a very good friend, and he's a very good speaker, and I want you to listen carefully to him. Audley, God bless you, my brother.
Certainly want to thank God for the privilege to be here with you. We trust that the Lord will bless in a very special way. Want to thank you also as a church for the mission connections in Jamaica. It's good to always come to a church and find familiar faces where God has made cross-cultural connections with people and the opportunity just to see them again, that they are still in the vineyard serving God. It's also good to see you, Brother Beres. It's kind of one of those connections. Anywhere you go and see another Jamaican, you just feel that it's nicer to be there. Good to see you, Beres, and God bless you in the studies. What I want to do tonight is just to share a little bit with you concerning Fairview Baptist Bible College. I don't have anything in front of me, so I have to stand aside and look at the presentation too and speak to you. It's not the best way to do it, but we'll do it that way. And then afterwards, I'll share it with you from the gospel. So please permit me to just stand aside a little bit as we talk a little bit about Fairview Baptist Bible College. Our mission statement is to, if you go back to that, please. Our mission statement is to train competent, compassionate, effective servant leaders for the ministry of Christ in the local churches in Jamaica, the Caribbean, and the world. Our vision is to become one of the leading institutions in Jamaica and the Caribbean to develop the total person and equip that person for life. And we're concerned because people are not just equipped for ministry, but for lifestyle. We believe that is true. We have a number of teachers at the college, and a number of these persons only teach, like they come in and teach one course. Some of them are pastors, but we give the Lord thanks for all of our teachers. Three of those teachers, including myself, are full-time teachers at the college. The rest are just part-time teachers, but we thank God for all of our teachers. These are some of our staff members. To your right is Mr. Tomlinson. He is our bursar. Below is Mr. Spence. He takes care of the property, and everybody knows him as Dicky. In the left hand corner down the bottom, the smiling lady is our secretary, Mrs. Merle Wright. And then above her is one of the most important ladies on our campus, the cook, Mrs. Wolf, and we give God thanks for her. And then some of our students, we praise God for our student body this year. Our student body went up to 22 students, up from 8 last year, and we're trying our best to keep the student body above 20, and that's our goal as we move forward towards accreditation. More of our students in class, one of our teachers here, Dr. Burse, he's an adjunct professor who comes twice a year and teach with us. Our students have to be involved in church ministry. On the weekends, they are connected with a church, and therefore, they have to be involved with some kind of a weekend ministry at a given church. We ask them at the beginning of school to look for a church where they will serve, and then we attach them to that church to serve faithfully for the year. We've also adopted the Haddo Primary School, where we have Bible clubs on a number of the Fridays, and we also assist them in different areas where we can. Recently, we assist in contributing towards buying a computer for the school. But we thank God for the opportunity to still be involved in the school with the gospel ministry in a free way. Our goal is our student body rose, as we said, above 20. We have 22. One of the things that we're looking at is that this year we have added over 600 new volumes of books to our library. And one of the ladies that is helping us to regularize our library and to put it together in the last probably 5 years is Mrs. Doreen Barron. She's a Canadian, and she's sitting right over there tonight. Mrs. Barron, would you stand? She's a senior citizen missionary who is getting younger. Because at first she thought she couldn't do it, but then God kept giving her strength to come back. And this year, she spent a whole semester with us. She just came back from Jamaica last week, Monday, I think it was, after spending a whole semester with us, working in our libraries and tabulating our books, categorizing them. And we are very close to the 6,000 volumes that are needed for accreditation. So we give God thanks for that. Faithful Baptist Bible College, we've just, for the first time, installed wireless internet on the campus. And this is something that was far-reaching for us because of where our college is located. But thank God, with the technology improving, we've just gotten the internet wireless service on campus, and we're hoping to regularize it so that our office teachers, students, and in the long run, we are hoping to create an internet cafe that will serve the community that they can come in, and it will become an income generator to pay for itself. So we ask for your special prayers where this is concerned. We've also developed on our campus an additional, what we'll call outdoor experiential learning. Team from Twin Lake Camp in Indiana, led by Brother John Bate. He came down and did 2 weeks of training with our students. And they went through a number of camping development in the hills of Fairview. This is to facilitate the whole process of reaching more young people on the weekends. We do believe that our students can get more involved in reaching especially boys. And we believe that the connection with the camping ministry in the hill is one of those great opportunities of reaching boys. This year in our football camp, we use this ministry for the first time, and we are finding that when we ask the boys for their testimony at the end of the week, they did not tell us what the preacher preached on in chapel. They told us about what they learned on the camping trail. We spoke to them about God. And this is something that we're doing. This year we had 44 boys in our camp, and 10 of them trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is one of the ministries that we're using, because one of the things we have found is that there are a lot of boys on the street playing football. And it's the drug addict who comes and buy them a beer, and the next thing you know, they are in the drug trade. Well, we're using football and the camping ministry of football to reach out to these boys. I know Brother Beres can identify with us because he was one of our first speakers at our first boys camp. And God has been using this tremendously. And for this year, we had 44 boys, and they just had a great time this year at the camp. 10 more souls won for the Lord Jesus Christ is a blessing. Fairview Baptist Bible College also took on two building projects this year. One is the administrative and library construction. We are a little farther ahead than this, but it's initiated by Dr. Ken Rothbrown, one of our missionaries. He's standing there in the hat. And the goal really is to complete this building before the new school year. And we ask for your special prayers with that. We've had a mission team from Altoona in the States. They came down and helped us to lay the blocks, and we have covered half of it so far. It's good to see that this gentleman down in the bottom, I think he's about 85 years old, but he's on mission trip. And God used him tremendously. The other project that we took on is the renovation of our female dorm. We started January 3rd, hoping to have this completed by the end of March. But we discovered that in the building, there was no steel. What happened is that there were a lot of bats in the roof of the female dorm. We took off the roof and got rid of the bat droppings, and put on back the roof, thinking that we had sealed off everything. But the bat still found another way to get in there. It got bad again, and we decided, well, let's fix it once and for all. Let's put on a slab roof. So we got in there, tore off the entire roof with the intent that we'll put on some built-ins and then put on a slab roof. But when we got there, we discovered that there was no steel in the building. So we thank God for the bats. Because if we had an earthquake with 50 kids at camp in the building and it happened, we would have just had devastation similar to what happened in Haiti. So this is an example of what it is. The corner here, this is the front corner of the building. We had to just dig out the footings again and reinforce it. We had to put in 22 new columns, window lintels, door lintels, additional bathroom, and new lighting fixture in order to get it prepared for the slab roof. And God has helped us to do that. It's just that, but the whole setting, it cost us more than what we estimated to fix it. So this is an ongoing project. It's not yet completed. We have done all of this by hand, and you can see the kind of steelwork that is going in there. We're also preparing for an additional floor that we're trusting the Lord to help us to get up a second floor that will help us to accommodate groups that come on mission trip in our school. This is how it is done. Everybody works a bucket at a time, and we swing the bucket up, and we finish that roof in 3 days. So the roof is now completely on. A couple of the rooms are finished, but we still have 5 rooms to finish and the bathroom. So we ask for your special prayers where that is concerned in terms of need. This was the day we completed the roof, and we were singing the doxology. Great opportunity. We appreciate, you know, our appreciation goes out, and we say thanks to all of the folks who have responded to the various needs of Fairview Baptist Bible College. And we know this is one of the churches that has responded and assisted us. We say thanks also to all our Team Faith givers. Team Faith is a project that we have launched in our country and outside of our country, soliciting friends that will help us to cover our operational costs at the school. Our student fees cover about 30% of the operational costs. That just as we need more students to build up the classroom, the classes, so that we'll have more of that operational cost taken care of. But for now, we still have to operate with what we have. And so there's really a shortfall where that is concerned. Our goal is to become accredited in the next 2 years. And all of our local teachers are studying to get up to a master's level and beyond. Again, we say thanks to Mrs. Doreen Barron, who's assisting us to bring our library to par with what is needed for accreditation. Other area needed for accreditation is that our program is in place, and so we give God thanks for that. We need also to sustain the student level to above 20 students. And then the fourth and fifth area that we need to work on is to work on financial sustainability. So those are the major areas that we're looking at for accreditation. And most of them are close to being in place. And we ask for your special prayers where this is concerned. From the theological, one of the things we're also trying to form right now with the help of ABWE is a theological consortium with a number of small Bible colleges across the Caribbean. When we are small and scattered, we are struggling, but we are trying to find a way to come together so that we'll be one large Bible college across the Caribbean with like a central administration that will cut down on four or five different administrations. We will become a larger school together because we have students on different campuses, but it's the one school. It will also give us an opportunity to move as teachers in special areas, to move from school to school and teach. And so this is something that we're presently studying, and we ask for your special prayers where that is concerned. Because if this happens and comes into being, then what we will find is that we will have a larger college in the Caribbean with different campuses operating. So we ask for your special prayers as we begin to study this. 2013 is our 50th anniversary, and we ask for your special prayers where this is concerned as we look forward to celebrating that event. How you may help? Well, you can also add to our student population by sponsoring a needy student. And what it costs Fairview Baptist Bible College for a student per year is $1,500. We've had persons who might put up a special scholarship to say, I would like to support a student for 5 years, for 10 years or so. And if God would lead you to do something like that, it's welcome. You can also join our Team Faith Givers and give a monthly, quarterly, annually to offset the additional $3,000 that we need to cover our monthly operational costs. It's just something that we really need. Help us also to complete the female dorm needed for camp. Camp begins in July, and we have to complete this dorm. Our funds have pretty well run out because what we estimated to have finished the building, because of what we discovered, that there was no steel in the building. It's hard to estimate an old building. And so... We've put on a brand new bathroom. We had just three showers and three bowls to cater for about 40, 50 campers. That was not enough. It was a sore eye for us. So we've added a brand new bathroom with eight showers and seven bowls in there. But it is yet to be completed. We need 1,000 tiles. We need 12 windows. Doors, electrical fixtures, and salary just to pay the workmen. These are some of the immediate needs to finish up this building. You can also become a student at Fairview Baptist Bible College. We encourage people from everywhere, Canada, United States, anywhere our student can come from. We encourage our student to come and do a one-year study with us, just to visit our campus and get involved in mission cross-culturally. Is another opportunity to assist us. You can also donate a computer or more to our computer lab. it is also welcome. You can also write to us and make any kind of a valid suggestion that you may have that will help us as a college. We always welcome that. Let me encourage you also to pray for us. Our task is that, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We do believe that the ongoing teaching ministry is the strength of Fairview Baptist Bible College. And we are asking you to pray. Just put us on your prayer list and keep us before the Lord as we train men and women for the gospel ministry. And then finally, our motto at Fairview Baptist Bible College is holding fast the faithful word. We trust that you will keep us in your prayers as we look at what God is doing in terms of the ministry. And again, we thank those of you who have been involved. You have come to our campus. I know this church has had an integral part in just assisting in the ministry of Fairview Baptist Bible College. All right, let me share with you from the Word in the next few minutes that I have. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. And with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the privilege we have just to look at your word together. We pray, dear Lord, that you will speak to us and challenge us in a very special way, even now. And we thank you for it, for Christ's sake. Amen. Sometimes God is trying to get our attention. And yet, even in our business, in doing God's work, God does not have our attention. And I've found that sometimes what God has to do is cause sometimes some drastic things to happen. The circumstances of life being drastic, that finally we need God and we therefore have to seek God. In the text which we have, the Bible tells us that Uzziah died, and he died 739 BC. He reigned for 52 years. He was one of Judah's prosperous king, and he brought Judah's enemy, the Philistines, the Arabians, and the Ammonites, into subjection. At the end of Uzziah's life, he was lifted up with pride and intruded in the priest's office and was afflicted with leprosy. The Bible says in the year that he died, Isaiah saw the Lord. There is definitely a connection with the death of Uzziah and Isaiah seeing the Lord. I don't know what God sometimes do, but he does a lot of things to get us to see him. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes it's a loss of a job. We don't know what it is, but God has a way of trying to get our attention. Let me ask you tonight, does he have your attention? When last have you seen him? When last have you communed with him? When last have you been going on your busy schedule and he tries to stop you, slow you down, to get your attention? And he got it. Well, Isaiah saw the Father. It was in the year that Uzziah died. What is true here is that Uzziah's death was something that definitely the Holy Spirit used it definitely to get the attention of Isaiah. It was the death that caused Isaiah to begin to see and see God in a definite way. Sometimes what we find here is that sometimes there is a person that is clouding your minds. There is a person that sometimes almost becomes the idol, the person that you desire of seeing even beyond God. Like it could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be a child, it could be a friend. Like it's not very uncommon for a person to come to church not to see God but to see their friends. And sometimes God does some drastic things, like in this case, he removed Earth's king so that Isaiah would get a glimpse of who the King of Glory is. When Uzziah died, Isaiah went to the temple. He went to the temple, and it was a time, therefore, to pray and to seek God's face. And the discovery that Isaiah made and discovered in the temple was that even though Earth's king was dead, the heavenly king was still reigning on the throne. You have to understand that tonight. You have to understand that whatever is happening, whatever the circumstances that life is bringing to you, whatever difficulty is happening, God is using it to move your attention away from seeing the answer in earthly people. He wants you to begin to look up and understand that God has not left his throne. And that he reigns. So when Isaiah saw him, Isaiah saw him on the throne. It was his seat of honor. And where he was on the throne, he reigns. He reigns. God still reigns. It doesn't matter what is happening in Canada and Jamaica and the United States and Saudi Arabia and Libya. It doesn't matter what is happening. God is reigning. And this is significant for us to understand. Because all of a sudden, Isaiah saw the Lord. And he saw him intelligently. You know, sometimes we see somebody pass there. And we say, did you see somebody pass by? And you might say, yeah, somebody passed. I don't know, but I saw somebody pass. That's a kind of glimpse. Some of us have glimpses of who God is. But then, if I ask, did you see somebody pass? And you say, yes, there was a man in a blue shirt and black pants and black shoes. And you begin to describe who he is. Because you saw him intelligently. You know exactly who he is. Well, Isaiah saw the Lord. And he's not guessing now. He knows exactly who God is. And here he's describing exactly how he saw God. He saw him intelligently. God dwells between the cherubims in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And people thought he was a small God. And Isaiah is saying, no, my temple, the temple that I worship is the miniature temple. Because God in his glory is far beyond this small little place. He recognized that God cannot be kept in this small temple. He exceeds the temple because in the glories of heaven, God is big. He is not small. He is not like earth's king. I can go on living in this world because our God reigns. He reigns. Now let me ask you, does He reign in your life? Does He reign in your life? Do you have a sense that God is in control of you? Does He reign on the throne of your life? Are you confident that God is in control? It doesn't matter what is happening. Folks, this is a world where people are getting upset and miserable. People are becoming tyrants. People are becoming depressed because the situations of life seem to be overwhelming. And it's almost like God is dead, but God reigns. He reigns. He still is alive. And Isaiah saw Him. He is in His majesty. Because we are told He is in His rank. The Bible says He is high and lifted up. Folks, God is at the top. He is in the superlative position. You know, sometimes we talk about God being, we talk about the comparative good, better, best. Well, when we think about who God is, when we compare Him with whoever is prominent in our life, God supersedes them. He is high and lifted up. The scripture speaks of Jesus Christ being at a place. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. When we think of who God is, there is nobody who gets higher than God. The devil himself tries to get beyond God. And he failed. He failed because nobody gets higher than God. You just can't. He is at the superlative position. Nobody, therefore, deserves to be greater in your life like God is. Nobody. In His robe, Isaiah said, His train of royalty and majesty filled the temple. I like weddings. And I don't know if you still have weddings like the old days. But nobody looks at the groom. Everybody looks at the bride. There's never a song that says, "Here comes the groom." The song is always, "Here comes the bride." And usually when she comes down the aisle, there's usually this train that comes behind her. And the olden dresses that they made, this train thing. And people just seem to love this train thing. Because it's just one of those things that is kind of majestic. And the Bible says God's train filled the temple. Majestic beauty. When we think of Him and think about just the royalty of who God is. And Isaiah saw Him. Jesus, this is a glorious moment when he saw God. He saw Him in His rank, in His robe. He saw Him in His holiness because the seraphim, God's angel, two cover their faces, speaks of humility. Two cover their feet, speaks of the service that they render. Two fly, the ongoing activity. These old angels faithfully proclaiming God's holiness as they shouted, "Holy, holy, holy, God is apart from sin. He is absolutely holy." When you see Him in His dignity, in His splendor, in His shining glory of holiness. Nothing to do with sin. He is apart from sin. There is nothing called sin that is attached to Him. He is absolutely separated from it. And He is holy. And Isaiah says, the whole earth is filled with His glory. It is everywhere. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. God's glory is everywhere. And we are not seeing it. We're not seeing it. we become complainers in the world, and we are seeing the economy, and we are seeing what is happening. But maybe God is causing some things to happen so that we can go back and look in His face and recognize that He reigns on the throne and He's still in control. Maybe it's time that we begin to see God's glory and remind the people of the earth that it's going to be all right because He still reigns. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Everywhere you go, it doesn't matter where you go, God's glory is manifested. God is also in His power. The Bible says when Isaiah got in the temple, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. It speaks of the power of God. What God did was just a shake the doorpost a little bit, reminded Isaiah that I am the all-powerful God. I was recently in Japan. You know, they have these nuclear plants. And you know, all of these people tell you that they are safeguard and nothing can happen to them. And God caused a few moments of tsunami just to shake them out of place. It happened too when they built the Titanic. They thought that this was the greatest vessel that could never sink. And one little accident, an iceberg, sunk the ship. Sometimes we have these empower, and we attribute powers in our knowledge, our education, and we think we're exceptionally powerful because we're educated. Sometimes we attribute power, and we attribute it because of the finances that we have. Sometimes it is the influence that we have on the world that we think we have power. But folks, our power is resident in who God is. And God has given His people power. Power to live godly. Power to survive in this wicked, ungodly world. God has endowed you with power to speak and to speak with great influence the things of God in this world. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And it seems like sometimes we are retreating and we are depending on a lot of people except depending on God. And folks, let me tell you, God wants to empower you and use you wherever you are. God wants to use you in your home. God wants to use you in your school. God wants to use you in your church. God wants to use you at your workplace. He wants to demonstrate His power through you. But you have to come to grips and see Him. See Him. This is the awesome presence of the power of God. Shake the post a little bit. Isaiah saw the Father. But notice, secondly, that Isaiah saw his failures. As soon as he saw who God is, in verse 5, he says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw his failures, and it was reflective of personal failures. Because notice what he says, he's, woe is me, and not woe is you. Woe is me, he says, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people. What Isaiah is seeing here is that there is something wrong with his life personally. It's me, Lord. It's not my brother standing in the need of prayer right now. Lord, it's me. I am looking at me. You know, it's a dangerous thing to ask God to even search you. You ever seriously ask God to search you and tell you about you? Try it sometime. Just ask God to tell you what's wrong about you. And Isaiah saw it. He saw what was wrong. He says, I'm a sinner. He says, I am cursed. He says, I'm undone, wasted, ceased to be, literally destroyed. He says, I have committed a personal sin. And he's saying, God, I'm agreeing with you. That's what he's doing. He's really confessing. He's saying, God, I agree with you that I am a sinner. It was a particular failure. Because he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Unclean morally. His lip was the problem. People who love to curse. And there are some serious Christians who can curse. Swear words. Curse words. Filthy communication. Malicious words. Evil speaking. I mean, folks, the lips can be terrible. It can be. And I don't know what side of Isaiah's lip was the problem. But he knew that this was my particular problem. I had a personal failure before God. And he says, God, I can name it. I can put my finger on it. He says, God, I know it. Folks, let me ask you. Are some of you before God have some particular failures that God is trying to touch? He's trying to put his finger on it. He's trying to point it out to you. And I don't know what it is. Because for some people, from time to time, there are struggles. You have to get before God and say, God, I am a man or a woman of unclean lips. I'm a man or woman of evil. I'm a man or woman of lust. I'm a man or woman of lying. It doesn't matter what it is. But you are accepting that God says this is the problem. And he's pointing it out. And God wants to show each of us where the failure is. Because he's wanting us to deal with it. It's important, folks. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to help us deal with our sins. So that we can be free. Folks, it cannot be that you are playing with sin. And there are a lot of people these days who are almost saying that I am only human. And almost like God expects you to be human and sin. But that is not God's expectation. God's expectation is that we be holy like Him. And true, we'll never become perfect in this life. But God expects us to deal with every particular sin that wants to strangle us, hold us down. That kind of a sin that sometimes mushroom and grow, and all of a sudden one day it busts out. It exposes us because it becomes big in our lives. And it renders us useless before God. God is saying, deal with it. Isaiah said, Father, this is my mouth. Oh, I wish some of you would deal with your anger. And recognize. Fear. The whole idea of sometimes even lying. And lying covers sometimes insincerity. Folks, if God points out a sin, you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. It was a personal sin, it was a particular failure, but it was also a public sin. Because Isaiah says, we dwell in the midst of a people who have the same sin. And this is where it becomes detrimental. When everybody is performing the same sin, nobody is there to correct anybody. When the Christian and the unsaved perform the same types of sin, then we have lost our power. We have lost our effect as a church to reach those who need Jesus Christ, who needs to be delivered from sin. And God wants to change that. Because I see God has all kinds of people out there that must be reached. I mean, there are people everywhere. People everywhere out there. People everywhere in Canada, Jamaica, United States. It doesn't matter. People are everywhere that need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ. And the people that God wants to use and empower to do the work is you and me. But it is not going to be done where sin is. This is why when Isaiah realized this, he comes before God and he saw and received God's forgiveness. Notice what the Bible says. One of the angels flew, took a live coal from off the altar. The brazen altar is the place where the sins of the believers were taken care of as the animal was sacrificed. God sent that fire from heaven. The place where sin was judged, the brazen altar. One of the tongues was taken off, and the Bible says the angel used the fire to touch the lip of Isaiah. And literally, he says his iniquity was taken away and his sins were purged. And one of the things that we have discovered, folks, is that purging is not something that is done from outside. Purging is something that has to be done from inside. And what God is interested in is our hearts. That's what God is interested in. Folks, let me tell you. Once you're purged from inside out, it shows on the outside. It shows on the outside. God is interested in having His people with clean hands and pure hearts. Once you have clean hands and pure heart, God is ready to use you. This is why we come to the last focus here. Isaiah became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have verse 8 which says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me." As Isaiah surrendered personally to who God is, God was now ready to use him. Why? He recognized his sin. He confessed his sin to God. God purged him from his sin. He was properly cleansed. And now he was ready to be used by God. You know, I came in, I recognized this. Ambassador for Christ. Very interesting. That is exactly what is happening here in this verse. Here it is, folks. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is asking that question. Who will go for us? I'm searching for an ambassador. I'm searching for somebody who would represent me. I'm searching for somebody who would represent me with the gospel ministry to those who are lost. I want to find somebody in Newcastle who will be my ambassador, my representative. Here it is. This is not in the Prime Minister of Canada now. This is the Triune God. The Triune God is looking in Newcastle Baptist for representative. People who will represent him. And he's asking that question. Who will go for us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Isaiah then said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Sign me up for the job." You know why he could have said that? Because Isaiah was now cleansed. And he recognized that if the Heavenly Father reigns from above, I can go anywhere and represent him. The struggle that I had was with my lips. But they are now purged. And I'm ready to go. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. It doesn't matter where you were. If you put those sins at the cross of Jesus Christ, He will gloriously forgive you as you admit to Him that you are a sinner. He will cleanse you. And He will make you clean so that as He stands there and asks, can I find somebody in Newcastle Baptist to be my ambassador? We will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 many people saying, here am I, Lord. Sign me up for the job. Can God sign you up tonight? Maybe not at a place yet that He can sign you up. Maybe there are some things to take care of first. And you are saying, by God's grace tonight, I'm willing to take care of those things so that I can be forgiven. He says He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can come and confess to God, and He will make things right so that you are in a place where you can represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for He still reigns. Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, let me challenge you. There are a person here who would say, God, I listened to your word tonight and I just want to make myself available to you. I truly want to be your ambassador. I want to be like Isaiah, make myself to go tonight. Sign me up. Can I pray for somebody like that who just slip a hand up and take it back down and say, yes, Pastor, including that prayer. Yes. 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 Anybody else tonight? Is there somebody here tonight who would say, Pastor, I am struggling. I am a man or a woman of whatever it is. God sees my heart tonight, and I'm willing to admit to God and confess that, God, I'm struggling with this, whatever it is. And that's you tonight. And you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Get somebody to slip a hand up or take it down again and say, yes, include me, yes. 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 Father, these are your people. Lord, we fall prostrate at your feet tonight. And we're looking up to you. It is to your throne that we look tonight. And thank you tonight that there is grace and mercy available tonight. Father, you ask us to come boldly to the throne that we might obtain grace and mercy. And we seek that tonight. Seek it on the behalf of your people. Those who raise a hand tonight, Father. Really, really seeking God for cleansing. Seeking God for deliverance over sin. Seeking to represent you as a true ambassador in taking the gospel message to those who are lost. Oh God of heaven, consecrate them to the purpose tonight and give them strength to be dedicated to the task. Oh Father of heaven, burn within their hearts tonight that you reign, and give them full allegiance in their hearts to you. Oh Father, reach out to them in a special way and help them to reach out to you tonight, as you are our God and we love you, for Christ's sake. Amen.